something you don't want to do when you're reading your Bible or when you're preaching. You don't want to rush God. He's got a lot to say. Just go easy, and as things come along, you say them, let it happen. It's not about reading the Bible in a certain amount of time or reading the Bible a certain number of times over a certain period of years. It's a matter of walking with Jesus in the dust of his footsteps, enjoying the conversation and all the things that he says to us. So Revelation 2:17, just a quick caption from last week as we move into this week, talking about this church that was compromising, or they had people in it that were compromising, and they were compromising the whole church. Because it's always easy to take a shortcut, easier to take a shortcut, easier to compromise than do it properly. And Jesus hates that kind of stuff. Revelation 2:17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. And I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. To him who overcomes. To those who overcome the temptation to compromise. To take the easy way out. You fill in the blanks. Why don't we just alter it a bit so it's easier? No. And he says, I will give some of the hidden manna. The hidden manna is Christ, God's provision for us, even in the Old Testament. Hidden, as in not seen, yet visibly sustaining those who call upon his name. What is that? It's God. He's in our midst right now, today, this morning, speaking to us, encouraging us, correcting us, all of that. Examples of this, like we mentioned last week, are found in Psalm 91, verse 1. Moses wrote that. Psalm 27, verse 5. David wrote that one. Psalm 31, verse 20. David wrote that one. The hidden manna is spoken of here as our being alone in the secret place with the Most High God. So one's hidden life is where one meets God in that secret place. It's not a secret that people can't find. It's just when God meets with somebody, that person is between them and God and nobody else's business unless that person chooses to welcome them into that space. That's how intimate God is with us. That's how detailed he is in his work in our lives. It's like a surgeon, a brain surgeon. Nobody else in the room, because he's the expert. Just the patient and that person. One's hidden life is where one meets God in that secret place. It's that place inside where no one knows what is going on except for you and God. Wow. I mean, confess your sins one to another. Yes, if that's what you want to do, but that isn't what's going to save you. It's in those moments where you are alone with God and the truth about where you are or what you've come through is so unbearable, you can't begin to share it with another person. That's where you share it with God. That's where you unload it in his presence. How terrible you think you are, or whatever it might be, or how horribly you failed. It's in that secret place with God. Jesus said to Nicodemus, looking at this idea of unseen, in John 3:8, he said, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now, wind is not willy-nilly. Out here in BC, it's kind of willy-nilly because it's kind of going on through the trees and the mountains. Out in southern Alberta, where Maria and I were for over 8 years, it's deliberate. When the wind blows out there, it's straight, it's consistent. People lean into it walking down the sidewalk. Because if they don't, it'll blow them over. Motorcycles go down the road, not like this, into the wind because the wind's trying to blow them over. It's deliberate. It's solid. The wind of the Spirit is like that. Now, I never saw that wind when I was out there, but boy, I felt it an awful lot. Just about knocked me over, pushed people over. There's trucks over there carrying these house trailers, and they're like, they take them down the road in halves. It blows them over when they're going down the freeway on a windy day. Lethbridge, Alberta. Wow, it's windy down there. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit. We can't see the wind, but we know it's blowing when it touches us. You're not the same as you were last year this time. You're not the same you were from 5 years ago today. Why? Because the Spirit is at work in you. And how do we know that? Well, because you look different. Some of you got a bigger smile on your face. Some of you are walking around. Some of you who couldn't. The Spirit of God is at work. Some of you have more order in your life than you've never had before. Did we see God taking everything apart and putting it back together? No. But He did that in that secret place. You and Him. So you want to meet there often with Him. Only children of God can know God. That's what Jesus was saying. Only children to Nicodemus. Only children of God can know God. Now, if you want to know God, accept Jesus. Accept His invitation from Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. If you want to know God, accept Jesus. If you want to know about God, read the Bible. If you want to know God, come to Jesus. He says, come. Go to Jesus. And then you'll know God. You can't know Him without that. You know all about Him. But you won't have tasted. You won't have tasted and see and know that the Lord is good. That won't be your portion. You just got a head full of knowledge and that's all you're operating on. Because maybe your heart has been so terrified or damaged in the past from one thing or another, you're not about to trust anybody anymore, especially God. And that's where some people come from sometimes. Good. Come from there. Don't stay there. Jesus said, come unto me. We can know God. At the time the book of Revelation was written, if you were tried for a crime, a white stone signified acquittal, meaning you were free from condemnation. A black stone signified guilt. Written on this stone will be your new name. What is that? There is something we need to consider at this point. When God writes on a stone, it's called engraving. We write on it and we erase it or we throw the paper away. When God writes on something, it's called engraving. 10 commandments, 2 stones. It's permanent. We got permanent marker. Nothing like an engraver will chisel into a stone. Wow. Not guilty. So not only is the stone solid, the promise to be your life in every situation is also solid. You might not do it the way you want to do it. But you're not God. He is. Get your hands off the wheel. Leave Him alone. He's doing a good job. Trust Him even when you don't want to. Trust Him even when you don't think you can. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen yet. Life doesn't have just happy, happy, happy. If you're determining God's will by whether you're happy with it or not, you're not going to know very much about God's will. A living sacrifice. That's what He's called us to be in His presence. Now, back to the new name. On the stone, a new name written, which no one knows except Him or those who receive it. The new name will reflect what God saw and we couldn't as we walked together with Him. It will reflect our alone times with God. When we were convinced He wasn't there and didn't care. And how He patiently waited until we could see we were wrong. I like that when God does that. It's a very personal thing and yet an invitation to everyone to know and love God. For God so loved the world. The world. It's for us. Each one of us. These are the times when we are with Him in the secret place. This new name that only He and you know is a testimony of God's working in you in spite of you and the darkness that had you surrounded. yeah. Are you going to trust him or doubt him? You can choose to live in faith and be reasonably peaceful about it all. Or you can choose to doubt him and have that torment you on top of what isn't happening, which you think should be happening. Some of the expressions in those Psalms that I mentioned from Moses in Psalm 91, verse 1, and from David, Psalm 27, verse 5, and 31, verse 20. Some of the expressions are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Dwelling. Really? Dwelling? Not just visiting on Sunday morning. Dwelling. Where do you live? I live in God's presence. Where is that? Everywhere I go. You can dwell there. Not just visit. You can dwell there. It's important. Abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. How are you about God overshadowing you? How are you with second place? How about last? How about if God's will means you come in last? If God is with you in last place, way better than being in first place without him. Dwelling abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. In the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, is another expression. In the secret place, is another one. He shall hide me. I like that. For my enemy who's trying to hunt me down and destroy. He's always doing that with us. He shall set my feet upon a rock. Cool. I don't like mud. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of man and from the strife of tongues. If God is on your side, you're winning. You're winning. It doesn't matter what kind of a horrible, terrible, awful, bad day you're having. If God is on your side, you're winning. Yes, that's the reality. Trials and tribulations, yes. Why do I have to have trials and tribulations? It's how you develop faith. If everything goes your way, you're going to think you have faith, but you don't. When nothing seems to go your way, you've learned to trust God in spite of having nothing that you wanted. Those are momentary times in life. Sometimes they're longer in some lives than others. They're 20 years for me in one occasion. When we think of the life stories of the men who wrote these Psalms, Moses and David, we can see into their private moments of despair and how God was with them, encouraging them to stay close and keep going, like a narrow path. Sometimes it narrows. God's invitation to enjoy relational intimacy with him is to the entire world. Maria and I both had this same, what was it, a vision, a dream? I can't remember. Doesn't matter. Same realization that as these new believers that we were, we were on this very narrow path, and it kept getting higher and higher. And it got like, whoa, you know that place when you go on an airplane and you're looking out the window and you're just at that moment where this is a little scary. And then suddenly you get so high you don't realize it anymore. Anybody else think that way? Yeah, there's that spot. Well, we passed that a few years back. And it's still there. And I remember one time, and still to this day, if I get a little nervous and get a little frightened, because I am actually in over my head, in what I'm doing. But nonetheless, God seems to be there all the time. And I remember this time of getting quite nervous about this. Lord, this is so high and it's so narrow. And his response to me was, shh, just keep following. Don't get all ruffled. Just keep following. Keep your eyes on me, Wayne. You're fine. Look down, you're going to fall. Don't do that. Look at me. But what? Just follow me. Don't let your butt stop you from following Jesus. Of course, you're in over your head. That's where God does his finest work. So, it was such a time as this when the Lord visited Gideon. Judges chapter 6. Gideon was threshing out some grain in a wine press. Does that strike you as odd? Wine presses aren't for threshing grain. Wine presses are for pressing out wine. There was Gideon in a wine press, threshing grain. And in Judges 6, chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Anyway, I'll let you read that. It's up there and it's on your paper. You got a paper. You can go home and read that for yourself. But the Lord was there. And the angel of the Lord, or the Lord, theophany, however you want to see that, said to Gideon, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." The King James says, "Mighty warrior." "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And Gideon's going, "Shh, they'll hear us. Hide, hide, stay down. Gideon, mighty warrior." Is anybody else in the wine press? Why would he do that? Why would he do that? Well, God often finds his people hiding from one enemy or another. We all do it. But God's calling out to Gideon and to us has nothing to do with where he finds Gideon, and everything to do with where he will take Gideon from and to. The new name. The new name. Ah. God calls us, whatever he calls us, according to what his design is for us. And he's not afraid. He's not hiding in the wine press. This was Gideon's job. And Gideon, as you know, he was timid. He asked for fleece and then asked again. And then he had 10,000 men, I think it was, to go to war and do the battle. And God whittled it down to 100. So they couldn't take credit for the battle. Wow. Give God credit for what he does in your life, because you didn't earn it. And you're right, Donna, and all of us, we don't deserve it. But he gives it in abundance. In abundance. So Gideon's part, follow. Follow God in spite of fear. Follow God in spite of circumstances. Follow God in spite of feelings. Follow God. He's taking us someplace we have never been. Maybe someplace we have never been able to get to and always wanted to. Be courageous. That's always the second thing I pray for after I prayed for the will of God. Even for people, I pray for God's will for people. And I'm praying with them. And when they leave the office, and I always say, "Oh, Lord, grant them courage." And I pray for wisdom. And then I have to pray for the courage to follow through on the wisdom that is given me or somebody else. Be courageous. You need to be courageous. Ask God to make you courageous. Stay in there when you're afraid. Don't react out of fear, respond to God in the midst of the situation. To him who overcomes. This name will reflect the battles that we have stood in and sufferings that we have endured. It will illustrate who you've become because of God's grace and our faithfulness. We will remember and immediately identify with that name. Yes, Lord, I remember. I still sing that song sometimes to myself that he wrote to me years ago. I was there, child, when it seemed you couldn't see me. I cared for you when you didn't believe. It has all this stuff in it. We should probably do it this morning, but I'm not set up for it. We'll do it another time. And now, 40 years later, I can see that that song fits perfectly with everything he's taken me through thus far and still is. He did this to Gideon. It's the name. It's the name. He has a nickname for me right now. I'll share this with you. He calls me Kid. Because in his presence, I'm just a pup. I don't know anything. But he chokes with me. And he calls me, "Yeah, try to remember that, kid." Like that. I am blessed that he would consider me such. And he doesn't care that I'm just a kid. He does what he does because he is who he is. I just want to be there when it happens. You want to be there when God happens. Overcoming is simply a matter of remaining faithful to God's faithfulness. Faithfulness is highly esteemed by God because to him, a close relationship with us is the best thing ever. A close relationship with us is the best thing ever. What is it for you? What is the best thing for you? Is it a close relationship with God or just something really wonderful that you want him to do? Don't let what he does come before you and him. Please don't do that. That's like a spoiled child on Christmas morning. Not getting the gift they wanted. So John 3:16, just in closing here. For God so loved the world that he gave his best, his only begotten son. This is why God hates compromise. He hates it because we don't get to experience who he is. We're going to lose our sense of awe if we compromise because we become our own savior. Ridiculous. That'll never happen. It won't work. The compromise that we have been looking at in the Church of Pergamos has nothing to do with faith in God and everything to do with celebrating the kingdom of self in God's face. Excuse me. Do you really want to do that? I mean, when the king walks through the door, oh, Lord, you should hear me sing. Ooh, I'm singing really well. Want to watch me play my guitar? And his response might be, want to watch me play it? I was down in the barn one time, just coming up from doing chores. And again, it's just wonderful how he communicates things to me. And he just said, hey, kid, go in the house, pick up your guitar. I want to show you something. I've been playing for, 35 years at that time. Picked up my guitar and discovered that you can play My Life Story and yours, Amazing Grace, on strictly harmonics. And that's where you just touch the string and it rings like a bell. There's only 12 really clear ones, and some experts can get a few more, but there's 12 really clear notes you can get. You can play Amazing Grace entirely on that. And I'm going, awesome. Awesome. Am I a good guitar player? No. Is God awesome? Absolutely. Absolutely. Come here, kid, I want to show you something. Yeah, perfect. Show me something, Lord. Show me. I want to see it. I want to see you. We don't want to be celebrating ourselves in God's face, and that's what compromise does. The doctrine of Balaam was all about gaining prominence, fame, and position among the worldly-minded and the godless. He wasn't evangelizing the world. He was evangelizing the church to become worldly. And God hates that. As a result of his efforts, the church at Pergamos also had those in it who held the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, who believed that the flesh, that is the natural person, is entirely evil, like just incapable of doing good. The book of Romans will bear witness to that. And so, but as a consequence, they thought it didn't matter what you did in the flesh. They had a kind of an esoteric Jesus up there somewhere that didn't really affect how you lived. So therefore, there would be consequences, no bodily resurrection. Oh, yeah, there was. And oh, yeah, there is. He came to save us, not just to take us to heaven, but just so we could live here as a godly person. Anyway, their preferred theology that allowed them to keep their fleshly, immoral appetites satisfied and their conscience well soothed by their weekly church attendance. Don't celebrate the kingdom of self in God's face. He hates it. If the leader of this church in Pergamos heeded Jesus' call to repentance, it would have been freed of the compromise that Jesus hated. The leaders in church are to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. I am here as his servant to bring blessing to you and affliction if you should need it. I'm not God, but I'm one that does not want to stop anything that he's doing. That's the one I am. I don't want to stop anything he's doing. I'll lay down my life for that, and I encourage you to lay your life down as well.